Well, I was wanting to talk with you about the importance of consistency on your prospecting and recruiting and your retailing, particularly as we're coming into what for some of you is a really busy time of the year and we're in the midst of working on our quarterly goals. And I think it's important to understand that consistent activity in support of a realistic plan has to be based on your belief that you can achieve your goals with this particular vehicle. And that's really five distinct areas. It's consistent activity is one, in support of a realistic plan is two, based on your belief, which is three, that you can achieve your goals, four, with this particular vehicle, which is number five. And I think that it's important that we keep all of those aspects together. The consistent activity is generally one of the areas that we struggle with the most, but it's the area where the sustained effort is really necessary. Unfortunately, just as in the rest of our lives, we tend to vary our activity levels from week to week, sometimes from day to day, sometimes from morning to night. But it's real important to be consistent in all of the aspects, from listening to your tapes to attending the meetings. And it's important to understand that the consistency that you might require is going to be different from the consistency someone else needs to do in terms of what your particular goals are. You know, if you're approaching prospects, making phone calls, following up with customers, you have to match your consistent activity with your particular goal. If you are showing the plan once a week and that doesn't match with the goal of working the 90-day fast track. So the consistent activity has to be also, as we get to number two, based on a realistic plan. And the consequences of inconsistency really mean a loss of customers, a loss of confidence, and just basically a loss of your commitment because you're not really keeping your word to yourself. And it's easy enough to know if you're being consistent because consistency means your actions are in harmony. So that means your actions are in harmony with a particular goal. It's easy enough to flip it because inconsistency is actions that aren't compatible with a specific claim that you've made. Again, back to I'm working the 90-day fast track plan, but I'm only showing the plan once a week. That's inconsistent. It doesn't match the level of activity necessary to meet that particular goal. And when you think about the importance of the consistent activity, it really does have to be based on your realistic plan. Because sometimes we think that our plan is realistic simply because it might fill the 8 to 10 hours that we've identified in the Getting Started Action Guide. But the reality is, it can be realistic if it doesn't match the real availability that you have in your particular part of the world. And that gets back to the conversations we've had in the past about the time action budget, you know, where you go and you list everything that you're doing with your time so that you can see where your time goes, sort of like you do when you're working the budget issues. And then you get really depressed because you can see that you just spent all your money on things and don't necessarily have a lot to show for it. Well, when you think about your plan, a realistic plan has to match your available hours. If your time action budget at the end of a week shows that you really only have 2 hours available for working your business, but your goal requires 15 hours, then you're setting yourself up for failure and disappointment and because there's no way that's going to work out. But again, the other part of a realistic plan, I think, is not just how much time is technically available, but are the scheduled activities that you have in that time things that you know how to do and that you're competent to do? It makes a difference. If you say you have 4 hours available this week for prospecting, however, you're really new to the business, or you've been around for a while and simply weren't following the plan and you don't know how to approach people, or you're still dealing with a great amount of fear in approaching people, then, you know, it's really going to take you more than 4 hours because you've got to work through some other issues. It's like in the legal world. If I am going to take on a client and it's a totally new area of the law that I'm not familiar with, then if I decide to do that, and let's say it takes me 15 hours to do it, I don't get to bill the client for 15 hours because most likely 10 of those hours was spent on my learning curve because this wasn't an area that I'm familiar with or my area of expertise. So I can't bill for the full 15 hours. That would be unethical. I can only bill for the 5 hours as if I already knew what I was doing. And in the same respect, you need to look at your available time to make sure that it's a realistic plan. Perhaps if you have a fear of approaching people, you'll have to spend some more time listening to some tapes on prospecting and recruiting. Maybe you'll have to get with someone else on the team and listen to some three-way calls so that you'll be familiar with how they actually go instead of just thinking, what in the world is a three-way call? I don't know how to make them, therefore I'm not. And so your 4 hours that you had committed to prospecting and recruiting goes for nothing. And in the same area, let's say you have 2 hours available for doing your retailing, but you don't have any brochures, you don't have any product, you don't have enough time to send out invitations for product preview shows, you don't have any home shopping lists, you don't have any health awareness surveys, so you have 2 hours, but how are you going to realistically use those 2 hours? You have to decide during that 2 hours in the beginning that you're going to become more familiar with your own product. You're going to spend some time and review the brochures. You're going to spend time and review the mall talk. Perhaps you're going to go to a product show or a health awareness seminar so you can get familiar with how other people who are having some success are sharing product information with people. You see, so a realistic plan is not going to happen just because you say you have time when you complete your time action budget. But it is really going to depend on the type of activities that you're going to put into that time frame. And so, obviously, if I'm really comfortable with prospecting and recruiting, I can maximize those 4 hours. But maybe at the beginning for you, you might have 4 hours, but you might only get 2 hours worth of effective prospecting and recruiting done because you have a learning curve. And it's important when you're developing the plan to anticipate that and to build the time in accordingly. So let's say you understand the importance of the consistent activity and you're working to develop a realistic plan, understanding that a plan is an evolving process. So it's not that I want you to have one totally in concrete, but I want you to have enough detail there so that you know what you're going to do with that time because you won't be able to recapture that time. So if you have a reasonable understanding of the importance of the consistent activity and having a realistic plan, those two have to lead to the third element, which was your belief. Because your actions and your plan, even if it's not working right now, it still says something about your belief level and what you're doing. If it's not working because I'm not trying, that's one thing. If it's not working because it's going to simply take me more time because of the learning curve, that's a different issue. So you have to decide what your current activity level says about your belief and what you set up to do. You know, does it say you believe the desired results are going to happen even without consistent input and activity? And there are some people who believe that. There are still many people who believe all I have to do is find two other people, but you can't just find those two other people if you don't go out and talk to people and if you don't share what it is you have available, be it your product or your business opportunity. Or you could simply believe that the desired results won't happen no matter what you do. Therefore, you're just here. You're in the business, but you're not actually working to build a business. Or some of you, and I think this is the majority of you, you believe that the desired results will happen if you do the work. And I think that's probably the healthiest place to be because that's the point where you can begin to really look at what you're doing that's contributing to where you are with your particular goals. And a lot of that, of course, depends on how badly you really want your current goal. And I say current because our goals change just as our life evolves and we want different things at different points in time. So it is with our goals. You have to really be clear in this area on the difference between your wants and your needs. Because sometimes your needs may be urgent. Sometimes your needs aren't urgent. I mean, I need to eat, but I'm not having to eat right this minute because I just ate a few hours ago. Needing to pay your mortgage, needing to pay your rent becomes more urgent the closer you get to the first of the month or your particular due date. Your wants can be something that, you know, it's just a nice to have, but I don't have to change my life to do it or to obtain it because it's really not critical whether or not I actually did it. So when you're thinking about why perhaps you're not as consistent as you thought you would be, and your plan doesn't seem to be as realistic as it needs to be to get to the level you say you want. Perhaps it has something to do with your belief in what you put down as a goal, as well as your belief in using this particular vehicle, which we're going to address in a few minutes. But given that you're pretty clear on the consistent activity, the realistic plan, and your belief level, you still have to spend probably more time than most of you want to spend in the goal area, because it's about connecting goal achievement to your current activity. And it's like, we've talked about this before, if you aren't sure that this goal is particularly something that you want, then you're not going to generally be willing to do the extra work that's necessary. So I want you to think about why you chose the goals that you're working on right now. And most of you have a reasonably current goal statement, so think for a minute about why you picked those goals. Did you pick them because they sounded good when you heard them at a local seminar or some other training? Or did you pick them because that's what you think you should want? You really have to get as clear as possible on why you chose those goals, because sometimes we didn't choose our goals. Sometimes goals choose us, I do think, in terms of where you find your passion in your heart. But sometimes we let other people decide our goals. You know, other people think we should want to live in this neighborhood, or we should want this size house, or we should want these type clothes, or we should want this type car. But in your heart, if that isn't what you really want, then it really doesn't matter how realistic your plan is going to be. You're not, I don't think, really going to be able to achieve that, because there's a disconnect between your belief and your goals, even if your activity levels are appropriate. Some people truly do not want to make $2,100 a week. Some people don't want to make $2,000 a week. Some people are quite happy to make $600 a month. You have to decide what it is that matters the most to you in order for you to get the level of consistency that I'm talking about here and to be able to sustain it. One of the things I think is really helpful when you're trying to focus on where your goals are coming from, when you've been associated with this business for a little while, ask yourself if you had the goals before the business, or did they come after your involvement with the business. It's okay to create new goals as you go along, but I find that the ability to sustain the level of work that's necessary is going to be far greater when you're working on a goal that was related to your core values long before you ever became involved with this business. For some people, they may be able to achieve a certain level of success with this business simply focusing on the monetary goal. For most people, it's not sustainable. So take some time to think about that when you're reworking your plan and wanting to figure out why you haven't been able to implement it the way that most of you believe that you would be able to by now. So that would move you to that next area of considering all of this in the context of this particular vehicle. You see, you've got the consistent activity, you've got your realistic plan, you're pretty clear on your beliefs, and you've also identified the goals that really matter to you. But then you have to think about this in the same context as the reason behind the particular job that you may be working or the career that you've chosen. Why did you choose this particular vehicle? You know, and is that reason still valid? When you chose this business, did you think it was easier than it was? Most of us did. I did. You know, did you think you'd have to work this hard? And did you understand that a great part of what you would do with this business was very different from what you've done in other areas of your life? And that, for many people, is a really challenging area, because we're using a set of skills and talents and abilities that maybe we didn't develop as well in other parts of our life. You can be pretty successful in other areas of your life and not have to be as involved necessarily in working with other people, and not have to be as involved in listening to what strangers and other people are saying in order to determine whether or not what you have can possibly be a solution to their problems. So you have to think about this particular vehicle and all of these other areas in order to make sure that your particular action plan stays on track. And a lot of that I think, has to do with the time frame that you're involved with this vehicle. For some of us, that urgency or it just being sort of an extra want for some additional dollars is really going to be tied to what's going on in your life. You know, did you just have a child and are determined that you're going to stay at home with that child and not go back to work outside the home? Or are you like me and you have a grandchild who you want to focus on preparing things so that he has an opportunity for education and extracurricular activities? That's not near as urgent as it would be for those of you who have a child, because one, you know, they're my grandchildren, and two, I have in some ways more time. Whereas if you have a child right now who's dependent upon you and you are the sole source of support, that's going to make a big difference in what you're able to do with this particular vehicle and what you're expecting from this particular vehicle. So consider what we're talking about in terms of where you are at this particular time in your life. Do you need the financial support and income so that you can retire in 10 years, or do you need it by the 1st of December rather, to pay your mortgage? Do you need income from this business to buy holiday gifts for people, or do you not need this until a year from now or 2 years from now? So it's really important, I think, to take that time to try to connect the dots as much as possible in these areas, because every day and every week you have to recommit to what you're doing. Just as you do in life, when you wake up, you recommit to your marriage, you recommit to your employer, you recommit to your family. Even if you don't verbalize that recommitment, your actions are doing it. You know, you don't have to say to me, T.A., I am recommitting to building my business this week. You don't have to say a word, because when Sunday rolls around and I don't have your accountability report and I get your accountability report on Tuesday and you didn't listen to any tapes and you didn't read your goal statement and you talked to one person and you added two people to your names list for two of those days, I don't have to look into the comment section, because your actions have really said whether or not you're making that commitment to your business. And I think sometimes we think, well, because I filled out the report, then that means that I am being accountable and I am doing what I said I would do. But I think we all know the reality is that we're not. So when you're thinking about these areas, and I know you think about this all the time, right? But when you're thinking about it, it's real important to just try to keep it as focused as you can, understanding the importance of being flexible. Yes, I want you to be consistent, but I understand that life happens and things are going to get in the way sometimes. But that's all the more reason why you have to have the second element, a realistic plan, because that realistic plan is going to be based on your world view in terms of your time availability and your dollar availability and the other resources that you may have to use. And all of that is only going to work if your belief is there in yourself and what you're doing, and your goals are consistent, and most importantly, your goals match the possibilities associated with this particular vehicle. One of the areas that I saw quite a bit in the last few weeks people are struggling with is the listening to the tapes area. And I know that some people like to listen to them only when they're in the car, and some people like to listen to them when they're home. But the reality is, if you're needing to listen to tapes in order to increase your knowledge and your comfort level with this business, you have to make the time to do it. Now, I prefer to listen to tapes in the car, although when the weather is nice, which it isn't right now here in Colorado, I like to sit outside a lot and listen to them. But if I like to listen to them in the car, and if I don't go get in the car today or for a couple of days, then what does that mean? Does that mean that I am not continuing to increase my knowledge? Well, unless I use the tape player upstairs when I'm in the computer room, or I sit out on the front porch and use it, that's exactly what it means, that I'm not going to be doing what I need to be doing to get where I want to get to. So in this area, I think some of you are struggling, and I think that you can connect the dots back from not listening to material that helps empower you and train you to the level of your confidence and your belief in this particular vehicle, because educating ourselves always helps to sustain our belief in whatever areas we're educating ourselves in. So if you say that you're listening to two tapes this week, and you do that for 3 weeks, but then you don't do it at all for 2 weeks, it has to have an impact on you. It just has to. Listening to the tapes, I think, is like putting money in the bank. You know, you get interest, but it's actually compounded daily, so it's more valuable than the interest that's compounded monthly, because it requires the continuous feeding, I think. So not doing it for a few weeks is a greater impact than you might think it is, and it really does impact your attitude and belief. Mostly it impacts your attitude and belief towards yourself, which is why it's so critical, because if I don't listen to the tapes, I'm not just saying that the tapes aren't worth listening to, I'm saying something about what I believe, what I feel about whether or not this is going to help me. And I would find it really hard to believe that there are no tapes out there with information that any of us still needs to learn. There's just so much information that we need to have reinforced, whether it's related to products, whether it's related to selling techniques, whether it's just related to having a better attitude about the challenges that we might face. And that's the reason why I think daily is better. Because it's really like attitude insurance. The more you listen, I think the more flexible you'll be when life happens to you, something happens to people on your team, and things aren't going the way you think they ought to go. I think you'll be able to rebound. It's like if you listen to the Overcoming Objections tapes by Frank Kiefer, and let's say that's not an issue for you, but if you listen to them enough, when you do get to that point where you're more comfortable and confident in your prospecting and recruiting, and you hear those objections coming from other people, you'll have those responses automatically. They'll be ingrained in you because you've listened to it and you've internalized it. And it's the same with the product knowledge. If you listen to the material, especially the material that Dennis puts out, you'll be better able to recognize a fit between what you've heard and what we have to offer and what someone who you're having a conversation with is talking about. But if you didn't listen to the tapes on those particular products, how in the world are you going to be able to make that connection? I don't think that you're going to be able to make it. You're not going to be able to make it as well and as smoothly as you need to do in order to actually be in a position to provide that service for the other person. So, you know, if you need to, just think about listening to the tapes as like tools for bad attitude insurance or something, or they're inactivity prevention. Because if you learn the things that best lift your spirit and use them accordingly, you're going to do better with this business. It's just like we do with music. We all know there's certain music that makes us feel good, and there's certain music that makes us not feel good. If we want to cry or have one of those days, we know exactly what music to put on that's going to make you feel sad and make you go back and think about all these memories from years ago. We all know what that is, and it's the same thing I want you to think about with the tapes. You know whose tape you need to listen to a certain days. You know when you're not feeling comfortable about your products because you were in conversations with people for 3 straight days and not one single person mentioned anything that could have been a possible fit with your products that are available for people's use? I don't think so. Generally, you're going to have opportunities, but you're not going to recognize them if you haven't kept yourself full of the information that's available. So I think it's really important, and I think that's one of the reasons why many of you are struggling with your approaches for the prospecting and recruiting as well as the retailing piece, because you're not as comfortable as you could be, and listening to the tapes and other educational material is absolutely critical for that. Particularly in that area of retailing, I think, because so many of us are reluctant to share information about product-related issues. But when you think about it, retailing is necessary because, one, it is the quickest way to have your business pay for itself, which makes that very important for you and for the new people that you bring into business with you, because the first thing you want to do is to help people earn their money back and realize the potential that this business offers. So sufficient retail helps you to sustain your business while you're building towards your ultimate financial objectives and building your network. You have the monetary benefits, of course, and you have the psychological benefits, which I think directly relate to your belief and your confidence. But when you're thinking right now about this time of the year with the whole holiday period coming and the fact that most of us are going to create some sort of holiday spending budget, I want you to keep in mind the importance of remembering and writing down your business budget during this period of time, because if you don't, and you overspend on the holiday piece, that's going to affect the reality of you being able to achieve your plan. Even if your plan on paper is realistic, if you no longer have any resources left, financial resources, to address what's required in the plan, you're going to have a problem. So, you know, right now, at this time of the year, you need to plan for a minimum of taking care of your annual renewal, which is $70 if you do it by the end of December. You have to plan for your ATG voicemail, which is, you know, maybe an average of $20. You have to continue to plan for your USMS $20. You have to plan for your transfer by, probably $230. You have to plan, even though this is the end of the year, there's still going to be second look meetings. There's still going to be local seminars out there. You know, minimum $35 between the two. You have to start planning for your transfer by related to your IBB, your incentive business buy-in, because as we talked about when we were setting the goals in place for this last quarter of the year, we want to all be actively involved in the incentive BV program by this time next year. So right there, you spent $400, and then you've got to think about your brochures for the product of choice that you want to share with people, and your personal use above the transfer buy, which of course means you need to be looking at the home shopping list and the mall talk to make sure that you're expanding your awareness of what it is you have to offer, so that back to the consistent effort and the realistic plan, you'll be in a better position to share what you have with other people. So if you're in the process of working out your holiday spending budget, you need to add this additional piece in there for your business budget, and you have to think about this in terms of what people that you're sharing your business opportunity with right now need to do to become involved with you. And the reality is, I don't know any other way than to tell people that it's going to cost $500 to $1,500 to capitalize your business. And I don't know why that is such a struggle for us to say to people, when you consider the potential outcomes from an upfront realistic involvement with this business. But I say I don't understand it. In some ways, I do understand it, because the same challenges that some of you all are having in terms of working this small part of a realistic budget for the remainder of this year, that's the same reason why you're reluctant to tell other people about the financial requirement of doing this business. And I think, though, that if you go back to looking at your goals and looking at what you really believe about your capabilities and what you believe about the potential of this business, it will become easier for you to tell people, this is a real business, this is what's required. I went through this a lot, especially with my legal work, because probably 90% of what I would do would be pro bono, which is for the public good and which really means you just don't get paid, okay? I had no problem with that until I reached a place where I saw that there were many people I was involved with who free had no value for. And so I had to get to a place of saying, under these circumstances, this is my pro bono budget for this quarter. Should you require services above that, this is what it's going to cost. That leaves the other person with the option of saying, oh no, I don't want to pay that, thank you very much, or yes, I'm willing to pay that. There have been many who decided, no, I don't want to pay that, and that's okay. I've gotten used to that because my services have value. Your business has value. You get to choose when you want to give someone a gift certificate. You get to choose when you want to let someone have your product as a gift. But it is not good business to choose to let someone have your product at wholesale when they are supposed to be a retail customer, any more than it's good business for me to give away valuable legal services to someone who could afford to pay but doesn't want to pay, and then I don't have the time to provide legal services for someone who really needs my services and can't afford to pay. So you have to put what you're willing to do with your business in the context of, I am doing this business because it's important to the goals that I set for me and my family, and I believe that what we want to do with our lives is important and is worth me making the commitment that I said that I was going to make. Now, of course, you're always free to change that. We're all free to change whatever we want to change. I just want you to be clear that you're making the choice that impacts what you're going to do in terms of this business. You know, when you think about that consistency of effort that I'm talking about, you know, whether you work this business full or part-time, there is a pretty big commitment in time, in terms of time and energy. If you decide that you only want to work on those areas that can fit into the rest of your life, then you're going to have to adjust accordingly. Because you really can't fit in unless you just have nothing but free time, which isn't the case for most of you, because most of you are working really hard at the various things that you're involved in. But something has to give. The beauty about it, I think, that I like about this business is that you get to decide. You know, there has to be consistent daily action with a rollover of your effort from day to day and week to week. You can't tell me that you have 5 prospects this week, and then you have 2 next week, and then I ask you what happened to the 5 from this week, and you don't have an answer because you didn't roll them over to close the loop. You didn't close the circle. You had them on your list, but you never followed up with them to see whether they were interested in product, whether they were interested in the business, or whether they could give you referrals. You have to continuously, it's like an evolution process. You're continuing to move people forward, rolling it over to close the loop. Either they're going to be a customer, a referral, a potential business associate, or simply going to be someone that you follow up with when we get back from leadership school in February and share information about new product information or other updates. And the thing is, people aren't going to contact you just to give you referrals. You absolutely have to follow up with them. But if you've built a relationship with the person, then I don't think it's going to be too much of a challenge. In some ways, I think we make it more of a challenge because we don't pick up the phone and make that initial contact with the individual. But I don't know any way to achieve your goals without the daily effort. I just don't. Particularly in a business like this where you're talking about working towards a weekly payout, that has to require daily effort, and the monthly pay has to require weekly effort. But that's not really very different from your job, because you have to do the daily work in order to get your check, whether you get paid once a week or you get paid every other week. The thing is, the daily commitment is hard. I mean, it's hard with this business, and it's hard with your regular job, but it has to be worth it to you to do the hard work, and it's only going to be worth it to you if you're clear on what the possibilities are with the business. And I think that level of clarity, it has to go beyond just knowing that you have to follow the Getting Started Action Guide. What does that mean? It means that you really have to make this commitment to being consistent, working a realistic plan, focusing and increasing your belief levels in yourself and the business, being real clear about your goals, and understanding the possibilities and limitations associated with this particular vehicle. And when you're talking about working through this process, it isn't just the administrative details. It isn't the daily list making. It isn't organizing files and creating forms or whatever it is that people are doing. The planning is critical. But just like with a standard business plan, the success of the business is more dependent upon the daily activity that you take concerning that business. And I think for many of us, we're still sort of looking at other people and thinking about what they're doing to be successful instead of going internally and thinking about what we have inside us that can help us to get to where we want to get to. And there was an article, I think it was on CNN, on the money.com page, and it was talking about what it takes to be great. And what I really liked about this article was by a guy named Jeffrey Colvin. It was talking about the fact that the lack of natural talent is irrelevant to great success. Now, I'm sure there are many of you who will disagree and say, oh, no, this person is born this way. But the reality is, and what this article is stating, when you think about people like Tiger Woods or Warren Buffett, the major investor who's just made loads and loads of money, people tended to say, well, they were natural and they were wired to do this. But when you think about it, if you look at their history, it's really not that simple because they worked hard at what they did. Even if you possessed a natural inclination to do something, it's not going to happen without doing the work. I don't know, and I don't think there's any recorded history of someone becoming great without work. You know, it's kind of nice, the guy goes on to say, to believe that if you find the field that you're naturally gifted in, you'll be great from day one, but I don't think that's really true. Now, you know the areas that you are passionate about, but you also know that you have to develop your skills in that area. And what this article is talking about is that the best people in any field are those who devote the most hours to what researchers call deliberate practice. And that's activity that is specifically intended to improve your performance. And it goes beyond the objectives of just competence. It really takes you to a different level. And for us, that is really deliberate practice in the area of the results-producing activities. And consistency is critical. When you think about all the people who have been successful, you think about someone like Tiger Woods. You know, this article talks about the fact that he could be the textbook example. But you have to consider that he was introduced to golf when he was a child, 18 months old. And he practiced. Before most of us heard about him, he had at least 15 years of practice. It was due diligence. Look at that. He talks about the football player, Jerry Rice. He was passed up by 15 teams because they considered him to be too slow. But then he practiced so hard that other players would get sick simply trying to keep up with him. So what I want you to see is that for most people, you must practice to get better. It's not a failing, and you're not a failure because you don't automatically know how to prospect and recruit. None of us are born to prospect and recruit. We're not born lawyers, born accountants, or any such thing. We may find as we grow that we like a certain area, but to get good at it, we absolutely have to put in the time and the energy and due diligence in order to be able to take it to the levels that we said we want to take it to. And I want you to think about that, what it really takes to be great in terms of what you're doing to achieve the goals you set for yourself. You know, many of you have a daily action plan. I've looked at some of them, and they look really good on paper, but the amount of effort is not high enough, and it's not sustained long enough to get the results that you want. It's like people who are saying one thing and actually doing another and then explaining away the consequences to themselves. The only way to build the daily effort is to simply commit to practicing. But I think that the only way you're going to do that is to directly relate your belief levels to the particular goal that's achievable for you. Because when you're moving in a direction that you want to be going in, isn't it amazing how much energy you have and how focused you can be? And I don't really think we need to spend a whole lot of our lives moving in a direction that we don't want to move into. And that's why it's so important that we get to a level of clarity as to what we expect from this business, what we expect from ourselves, and what we're willing to do to get to those areas. When you think about your prospecting and recruiting, just get more realistic. You know, be more realistic about what you're willing to do, who you'll talk to, where you'll go to talk to these people. A lot of you say you're going to use the direct approach, but then you're not going to talk to people that you don't know, but you've already ruled off your people that you do know, your so-called warm market people. Sometimes just approaching people to ask if they're interested in the business is not effective because they don't know you and they don't know what's in it for them. Remember, you're sitting there thinking about what's in it for you. Other people are thinking about what's in it for them because you're not going to have success in this business if you think it's all about you. It just doesn't generally work that way. And for some of us, when we're doing the prospecting and recruiting, we're not looking at it from other people's view. We're looking at it from our own. We assume this person is broke or this person is working too hard or this person is in pain, and therefore they must want to do what we want to do. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean they would agree with you if you dare to say that. And even if they did agree, back to what we talked about earlier, it doesn't mean that they're looking for this particular solution to their problem. And that's the piece, I think. We can get to a different level of clarity and be almost more discerning in terms of how we offer what we have to other people. And mostly, I think, we can only offer it based on what people share with us, which means that we have to spend more time listening to people and engaging in relationship building instead of being so focused on, I must get someone into my business and I must sell my product. If you build the relationships first and start to practice every single day listening to what other people are sharing, their hurts, concerns, joys, and everything else that people are inclined to share, I think you'll find the door of possibilities open a lot easier for you to be able to ask people for referrals and to connect you with people who would be interested in what you have to offer. And I think that sometimes the reason why it's a challenge for us to maintain this consistency of effort, one is just because it's hard. Okay? We just don't want to. Two is because I don't think we realize that every single time we stop and start over again, we're actually putting ourselves farther behind the power curve. It really winds up with you barely maintaining, and it keeps requiring you to adjust your goal estimated completion dates. Adjusting your dates is fine when you realize that your level of activity is insufficient, but adjusting your dates because you simply chose not to do what it is you committed to yourself to do, I don't think that's fine. I think it's just better that you take that goal off the list and make that commitment that you're going to revisit it in a couple of months and decide if this is something that you really want to pursue, because to do otherwise, I think, set yourself up for a conflict. It's an internal conflict where I'm not telling myself the truth. And I think over a period of time, if we lie to ourselves, then we destroy something inside ourselves, and I don't think we'll be able to rebound as quickly, and perhaps not at all, if we aren't honest with ourselves about what it is we want to do with our lives. I know I've shared with you before when Robert was here, and it would be, he'll look in the mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, I don't want to face the facts at all. If that's the case for you at a particular time, that's okay. Just decide that and not keep saying, yes, I'm going to do this, when you know full well that you're not going to do it, because I don't want you to set yourself up and then take away the internal motivation that you may have to revisit building your business in a couple of months when life is different for you, or when you have reworked your time action budget and realized that things are changing at your job, so you actually will have some realistic time available to do prospecting and recruiting and to do retailing. Most important out of the discussion we're having tonight is for you to be realistic. I don't think you can even talk about consistency of effort, even though I put consistent activity first. I don't think you can really talk about that until you're realistic about what time and resources you have available. So let's just flip that. First, we want to talk about reality, your current reality. Then we want to talk about being consistent within that reality. And we want to make sure that that consistency and reality is based on your belief about your goals, their value to you, and how you can get there with this particular vehicle. And I think one of the things I like best about this is, even if you don't achieve all of your particular financial goals with this business, I think if you focus on the personal growth and development aspect, you're going to benefit in so many other ways. Because the best thing about personal growth and development is that it can help you become clear about what you want to do with your life. And whatever choices you make, I mean, there's no right or wrong. They're just different choices. So I think it's important to look at working on yourself as a continuous process. But the process doesn't begin until you take that first hard look at where you are in relation to where you want it to be with your life and your business at this particular time. And there's one last article I want to share with you, and I do believe I have a few minutes to do that. And this really speaks in many ways to what goes on in our particular community sometimes. And this is an article that talks about expectations matter. And this one pertains to expectations mattering when it comes to math. And this was about math and women. And it said that telling women they can't do well in math may turn out to be a self-fulfilling statement. They did these tests where women were told that men and women do math equally well. Women who were told that did much better than those who were told there was a genetic difference in math ability. And women who heard there were differences caused by environment, you know, things like math teachers giving more attention to boys, they outperformed those who were simply reminded that they were females. Not just a little. These women who did better in the test got nearly twice as many right answers as those in the other group. And the conclusion was that expectations really make a difference. The findings suggest that people tend to accept genetic explanations as if they're more powerful or irrevocable, which can lead to the self-fulfilling prophecies. And we've all heard about that, and I think it's important that we think about that in the context of what we expect from ourselves with this particular business. The women in the lower scoring groups they read essays that contended that there was a genetic difference between men and women in math ability, or discussed the images of women in art. They had a reading which didn't discuss math, but was designed to remind them of being female. And they not only fell short of the other women, but their performance declined between the tests. And what the psychologists call this is a stereotype threat. If a member of a group for which there is a negative stereotype is in a position to test the stereotype, they are likely to choke under the pressure. So reminding people of the stereotype can affect them adversely. But if you don't remind people of that, the likelihood of them achieving success is significantly greater. And I think what this article is saying is that when you tell yourself this stereotype doesn't apply to me, and that's supported by what you see around you, you have a different level of success. And I want you to think about that in terms of what you said to yourself about your ability with this business. And I know some of you have said, well, there's not that many African Americans, or there's not that many people who look like me, or there's not that many people who come from the same area that I come from. I want you to think about this article and understanding the importance of your expectations. When you're working your business and seeing other people succeed, what are you saying to yourself? Are you saying I can't, or are you saying that I will? What do you expect from you? I think it's important to understand that this is basic information and education that we can all take a piece from and build upon. You can get some clarity on the reality of your plans and your current circumstances. You can use the tools that we have available to build a consistent action plan. You can get an accountability partner or mentoring support to help you maintain that level of consistency. But you first have to get clear on what you believe about you, what you believe about your possibilities for success with this business. I think that if you can expect the best from yourself and use what's available with this particular vehicle to claim your own future. And that's what I think. And I've seen enough of you do it, and now enough of you are on your way that it's more than possible. I think I'm going to run out of time here. I want to give you the Feed Your Mind quote for this week. I want to, before that though, remind you to take this next couple of weeks to focus on identifying what you're doing really well and do more of that. And then spend a little bit of time, not a lot, maybe a day, identifying the areas that you have challenges with so that we can help you come up with some options for dealing with those challenges. But spend most of your time on identifying what you do well so that you can do more of that, okay? The Feed Your Mind quote I'm going to email to you when I get off the phone to those for whom I have an email address is, follow the dictates of your conscience. Do what you think and feel has to be done, and you'll be able to succeed. Follow the dictates of your conscience. Do what you think and feel has to be done, and you'll be able to succeed. Okay? You all have a great week, and I look forward to hearing from you.